Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in Christ Jesus, the living bread from heaven that we partake of this day, and so we live. Amen. I want to talk about the Old Testament reading today from Exodus chapter 16, the people of Israel in the desert. Let's pray as we continue to consider God's word. Lord, we pray with the people of Israel. We pray with the people of your day. Give us this bread. Yes, give us yourself, Lord, in our ears now, soon in our mouths. Strengthen us. Give us a constant hunger for you, that we desire you, that we want you, we're content with you, for in you there is true life. Bless now our preaching, our teaching, and the hearing of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 220,000 complaints. I read we're in the city of Knoxville last year. There were approximately 220,000 complaints. People calling into the city, complaining about vacant lots, complaining about stray animals, trash lying here and there. 220,000 complaints that were registered with the city. About 600 a day, I guess, something like that. You surprised? Not really. We like to complain. We like to grumble. We like to bellyache. Surely someone's going to listen. Well, in our Old Testament reading, we have a lot of grumbling. The word grumble, or a form of it, occurs 8 times in the Old Testament reading. The people of Israel in the desert, they're out of the desert now about a month or so. God brought them out of Egypt, to the Red Sea, and now they've been in the desert about a month. And they are grumbling and grumbling about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? There's about 3 to 5 million people in the desert. What are they going to eat and drink? And so let me talk about grumbling today. I think we can all relate. Very relevant text. You're a grumbler, you're a complainer, you gripe a lot, you bellyache, you're just never content, never satisfied. Something's always wrong. The sermon's for you, so I guess it's probably for all of us at one time or another. 3 things about grumbling that I note. First of all, grumblers are very forgetful. Grumblers forget the past, or they have a very limited memory, a selective memory. Notice the people of Israel in the desert. Again, they've been there about a month after God brought them out of Egypt. Notice what they remember. They remember how they sat by meat pots in Egypt and ate bread to the full. Oh, really, people of Israel? This is what you remember about Egypt. How you sat by meat pots. Number one, that can't possibly be true, at least not very often, that you were sitting. You never got to sit. You had harsh slavery. And that you ate meat? Come on. How often do you have meat? Maybe once a year when Pharaoh had a few extra cows to feed you with to keep you a little happy. They rarely ever ate meat. And they had bread to the full. I don't think they had bread to the full. They were lucky to get a little bit of bread. A very selective memory about the glories of Egypt. What did they forget? They forgot they were slaves there 430 years. And it was a harsh, cruel slavery. And besides that, they forgot what God had done. God had brought them out of their slavery. It's only been a month now. They forgot how God called Moses, the burning bush. God sent the 10 plagues. What miraculous sign! He turns the Nile River to blood. He sends gnats and frogs and darkness and boils. And then they forgot the Passover? How the angel of death would come and kill the firstborn. But if they took the blood of a lamb and wiped it on their homes, they would live if they were in that home. How God passed over that home and didn't kill anybody. They forgot that great, great miracle. And they forgot the Red Sea? After a month, you forget the Red Sea. That God parted the Red Sea. You walk through on dry land. When does that ever happen? And he drowned the Egyptian army for you. You forgot that already, you people? You bunch of complainers? And more than that, how God led them by a cloud by day, a fire by night. He didn't desert them in the desert. He was still with them. He led them. And when they got to the desert in chapter 15, there are 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees there. It's like a little miniature Hawaii for them in the desert. You forgot all this, God would say? very, very selective memory of your harsh, harsh slavery and how I delivered you. And so you're a complainer, you're a grumbler, think of Christmas. You already forget Christmas when God lay in a manger for you? And maybe think of Good Friday. You gripe a lot, hold the cross and think of Good Friday. And don't forget what the Son of God did for you on a cross 6 hours. And the blood and the cries and the death and the misery and the forsakenness that Jesus suffered. Think about that a little bit. You forget that already? And don't forget Easter. We already forget Easter. He is risen. Decent, but it's not Easter, is it? You kind of forgot. We forget that. We forget Pentecost already, tucked away in summertime, the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith. Have we forgot our baptism? There God made me his child, washed away my sins, and God says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. I love you. We forget we're baptized. We forget that we have the Word of God. We have absolution. Maybe you already forgot that today. We have the body and blood, the living bread of Christ here. We forget these blessings. That's what grumblers do. They forget the past and all the blessings of God. What was I complaining about this week? You were too. The heat and humidity. Feels like Illinois or Indiana, Pat. It's so hot, so humid. Walk outside and you sweat. And I actually spoke blasphemy. I said when it was so hot outside, I'd rather go back to February when there was ice and snow and we were out of school 2 weeks because it was so cold. But then I remembered that back in February, when it was so icy and cold, I said I'd rather have it be 95 degrees at the end of July. And we're just never satisfied. It's always, what have you done for me lately? Grumblers, secondly, lack faith in the future. Grumblers forget the past, and they lack faith in the future. That's why they're not content in the present, you see, and don't have gratitude in the present. And how the people have forgotten their future too. What a future the Lord has promised these people in the Old Testament. He has promised to bring them through the desert. They'll be in the desert for a while to test them, to humble them. But they're going to have the promised land. He told them that. I'm going to take you to the promised land. It's not going to be desert forever. You're going to be in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You'll have farms there. You have my blessing there. God promised them that land. And God promised to conquer their enemies. You people don't even have an army yet. I will conquer your enemies for you and give you rest and peace from your enemies. And above all, God promised them the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. The Savior of the world, the King of Kings. He will conquer sin. He will conquer death. He'll conquer hell. And you'll be with me in the real promised land called heaven. That is your future glory in heaven with me forever. Not just a desert for today, but glory forever. Have you forgotten? Do you not have faith in the future? Is there no hope? Grumblers don't look to the future and the great hope and joy we have in the future. It's all about, I don't have anything right now. What's going to happen right now? Well, you forget the past, you forget the future too. And God, because he's taken care of your past and taken care of your future, he won't help you in the present too? What kind of God do we have? If God has done all that and will do all that, he'll take care of me today. So have faith and have hope and be content. Oh, what a future God has promised us. I don't know the future, but I do know this, because God tells me this. He'll ever be with us. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And if I have God, I can face anything, and so can you, friend. He promises he will never leave us or forsake us. It may appear to be that way, but he will not. He loves us. He promises again by baptism, I hold you in my hand. No one will snatch you out of my hand. He promises that he will work everything for our good. Good, bad, and in between in our lives and the world. He'll work everything for the good of the church. I may not see it, but it's going to happen. I trust it. I have hope in the future. And above all, my future is with him. My future is resurrection of the body. My future is no more pain or suffering or tears. My future is the new Jerusalem. My future is gold streets, pearly gates. The new Garden of Eden with the saints and angels. Glory forever. I live forever in paradise and rest and peace. That's my future and yours too in Christ. And so we have no Thanksgiving today. We just grumble. When it's all the grace of God in Christ. My glorious future. Maybe you're grumbling about Boomsday ending. The Spreckers know we're no longer going to have Boomsday. It's a horrible thing, isn't it? I think this is the last one, am I right? The last Doomsday, the Labor Day fireworks. Oh, don't worry. There's going to be a Doomsday in the future. And the sky will light up. And not just the sky of Knoxville, but the sky of the world and the universe will light up with the glory of Jesus and the glory of the angels and the sound of trumpets and the glory of the saints. Oh, how the sky will light up with the return of Jesus Christ in glory. It is doomsday for those that do not believe. It is a blessed day for the righteous. We lift up our heads, our redemption is near, and we'll be in heaven with Jesus forever, out of this wretched earth, out of sickness and sin and death, and with Jesus. That's our future. Before I go to the last point, just one thing I want to note. You know, grumbling's contagious. It always interests me how the whole assembly is grumbling. You don't just have one or two people of Israel grumbling. You have the all millions of them grumbling. How can that be? I'll tell you how I think it happened. You had a few people complaining. Where's the food? Where's the water? We're out in the desert. Where's everything at? Where's the food? And the grumbling became contagious. You grumble, then I'll grumble. I grumble, then this person grumbles. I guess grumbling's okay. And grumbling's like a fire that spreads. You want to ruin the church? Be a complainer the whole time. You want to ruin your workplace? Be a complainer, and people know you're a complainer. You want to ruin your family? Complain about stuff the entire time you're in your family. It's contagious. The whole company grumbles because I think a few started it. On the opposite side, I think gratitude's a bit contagious. You're thankful even in your sufferings. That spreads too. So-and-so is suffering, yet they're thankful. They're content. I can be content. And it spreads also. Which are you spreading? Grumbling or gratitude? And the last thing I want to say for grumblers. Grumblers forget the past. They have a lack of faith in the future. But grumblers are always forgiven and fed by God. And the real highlight of Exodus 16 is not the grumbling of the people, it is the grace of God. Oh, how God deals so tenderly and kindly with these grumbling people that have forgotten what he's done and have no faith in the future, what he's going to do. If I was God, I'd just open the ground and swallow them up. You're not going to get fed, you're going to be food for the ground and the worms. Get used to the idea. But God is so patient. God is so kind. He is so loving. He's so slow to anger. He gives them manna. He says, I heard your grumbling. What a God. I've heard you people grumble, but I'm going to do something for you. He is our Father. And he hears our cries. And he gives the manna. They have to work for the food hardly. He just drops it from the sky. He could have said, okay, there's going to be manna way over there behind a rock and over there in the cactus and there where the scorpions are. Now, good luck. I'm going to make you work for it, though, since you complain so much. He just drops it from the sky and they pick it up off the ground and eat it. And the quail fly right into the camp. They don't have to hunt the quail and search for the quail. They just fly to the camp and say, here, kill me and eat me. The grace of God for pathetic people. The forgiveness of God to give manna and quail. And so, oh, the grace of God for us complaining people sometimes. Our manna is the Word of God. Our manna is the sacrament. Manna means, what is it? That's why the text says, what is it? That's what manna means in Hebrew. What is it? We don't ask, what is it? Jesus tells us what it is. This is my body. This is my blood. Not what is it? It's me, the bread of life. Come and eat and you'll live and be content. Our quail is the Holy Spirit. He's the bird we partake of, our quail. And oh, we get refreshing cold water. It's called the absolution. I'm forgiven. Like a cold splash of water. Ah, I'm forgiven. Our baptisms are water. I'm forgiven. I'm refreshed. I'm God's child. Be content. Did you hear what happened in New Mexico? Where the young lady called into 911 because her friend had been shot and her friend was dying and she was quite hysterical trying to get someone to come help. And she was having a conversation with the 911 dispatcher. And finally the 911 dispatcher got kind of irritated with her. And he said to her, well, just go deal with it yourself. And hung up. And the young man died. He resigned from his job. Praise be to God when we cry out, when we grumble and complain. praise be to God, he doesn't say, just deal with it yourselves, Israel. Just deal with it yourselves, for I'm tired of it. Deal with it yourselves, you crying people. Our God deals with it. Our God lays in a manger. Our God hangs on a cross. Our God comes out of a tomb. Our God washes us, feeds us, forgives us, loves us, cares for us, is with us. Our God deals with us, and it's done. It's finished in him. And praise be to God. Let's finish with the old give thanks. May we not leave grumbling, but leave with overflowing gratitude for our God of blessing. Join me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. We rise.